If you have your Bible, would you turn to that passage in Luke chapter 2? I'm going to concentrate on a single verse, the verse that he used as a call to worship, and the words you'll know off by heart. It's the song of the angels as they appeared to the shepherds. And I'm quoting from the Authorized Version. There's very little difference in the words, but I don't know what it is about Christmas, but I suppose as a child I learned these words off by heart because they were taught to me at my mother's knee. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The words of our text are so well known, aren't they? I mean, everybody knows them. Each of us have known them from our childhood. And yet it all seems a bit unreal, dreamlike. Maybe some would say divorced from reality. What has happened and is happening in the world over these past 2,000 years, whatever it is, it has not been peace on earth, has it? Where is the evidence of this peace on earth? We've almost forgotten these beautiful words in the midst of a society where hatred and naked bigotry are to the fore. To listen to the angels just now, it is as though the carol singers are outside the door singing about peace while there's a fierce quarrel going on indoors. And some people are thinking that this old song is just an illusion. Its peaceful vision is a mirage. Its promise is a baseless dream. The music has no foundation in reality. And this is what many people are thinking and what some people are saying. And therefore it might be well to listen to the angels again as the music comes to us through these 2,000 years or so. Listen to the words again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, then where is the promised peace? Where is it? Where's the goodwill among men as you look out into the world today? It seems to be an illusion. Well, is there an explanation of this apparent illusion? Has any vital factor been omitted which may account for the dismal failure of peace? The peace was promised. The goodwill was proclaimed. Is it possible that we may have overlooked something? Something absolutely vital. Three things I want us to notice from this verse. First of all, the unfinished song. The unfinished song. Have we overlooked any part of this song which may be vital to the rest? Have we accepted one part but ignored another part of the song? Can you see the glaring omission here? Men are everywhere saying, where is the goodwill among men? Where is the peace on earth? Yes, but you need to go on with the questions. You've not finished the song. You've left out its initial and primary note. You must also ask, where is the glory to God in the highest? Our attention is fixed on the third phrase of the angels, goodwill among men, or upon the second phrase, peace on earth. But what about glory to God in the highest? That is, we have begun at the end and left out the beginning. We have been concerned about fruits, but we have not been concerned about the roots. We've been careless about the roots. And that's the explanation of our disillusionment. We have been expecting man to be right with man before man is right with God. We have been looking for harvest, and we have foolishly assumed that harvest would grow out of nothing. We have taken one part of the angel's song and we have thrown away the other. Thrown it away. Folks, peace is not an independent birth. Peace is not a detached creation unrelated to everything else. Peace is the fruit of certain relations. And when those relationships are secured, then peace is assured. And that's fundamentally the problem with most peace talks that go on across the world. Because men are trying to sort out problems between men without any reference to the God who made them. To the God before whom all of us will have to stand one day and give an account. And you'll find this teaching everywhere in the Word of God. Let me give you a few examples. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, on the Lord. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The psalmist. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Great peace have they who love your law. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In every one of these references, and thousands more in the Bible, peace is declared to be not a root, but a fruit. The fruit of personal righteousness or rightness with God. And as I say, this is where politicians get it wrong. They say, let's get a peace agreement, and then peace will follow. But if there's no change of heart, and haven't we seen this over the last 25 years after our so-called Good Friday peace agreement? There's still the bitterness between both sides that hasn't been dealt with. And you see, this is where the angel's song began. It began not with goodwill or peace, but with that which will produce goodwill and peace. Glory to God in the highest. Well, if then peace is the result of certain relations, let's then look secondly at a vital relationship. We've looked at an unfinished song. Let's think about a vital relationship. What is the relationship which gives glory to God in the highest? And there are many ways in which we can be related to God, but only one of them is vital. Only one of them is saving. There are many people who simply, if you like, tip their hat to God. You know, this time of the year, I would need to go to church, or Easter, or, you know, a special occasion. We're in a nodding acquaintance with God. They come to church, they try to live decent lives. They believe all about the gospel, all the facts of the gospel, but all these relationships to God are formal and nominal. They are not vital. And they don't give vital glory to God. How then can one come into a vital living relationship with God? A relationship that will bring glory to God. And it begs a more fundamental question. How can a man or a woman get right with God, with the rightness which will make him or her right with their fellow man? How can men and women give such glory to God that the glory will create peace on earth and goodwill among men? Well, Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate, tells us. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." At the end of that chapter, chapter 14 of John's Gospel, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." The Lord gives us that peace. To be in a right relationship with Christ is to be right with God. And what sort of relationship does Christ demand when he speaks to the souls of men? Well, Christ asks for the full surrender of our life into his will and to the power of his grace. Now, let me rephrase that. Christ demands the full surrender of our life to him. Let me put it even more explicitly. Christ demands the full, unconditional surrender of our life to him. No preconditions, unconditional surrender. I have often said this from pulpits. In this part of the world, we don't like to talk about surrender. We're big into no surrender, aren't we? But I tell you, we need to surrender. We need to surrender to the Lord. We need to lay down our arms and surrender to him unconditionally. He calls us to bring our life and offer it to him as our Savior. And then secondly, to use that offered life in obedience to him. The unfinished song. A vital relationship. And the third thing, it must begin with me. It is the surrender of the personal life to a personal Lord and Savior. I haven't a lot of confidence in mass salvation. The organ builder cannot, you know, turn the organ en masse, if you like, into a great instrument. No, each individual note has to be rectified, and out of the rectified individuals, the organ builder gets his harmonious unity. Except a note be born again, it cannot enter the kingdom of harmony. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We begin with the individual in the formation of the kingdom. God begins with the individual. God does it. The reborn man or woman makes the heavenly kingdom. And that is the first relation in the holy sequence. Man surrendering his life to the glory of God. And that is the first phrase in the angel's song, "Glory to God in the highest." The individual person right with the highest, imagine. Us mere mortal sinners, hell-deserving sinners, made right with the highest God, the only God. Then will come peace on earth and goodwill among men. First glory, then peace. Glory, then peace.
And that is the Christmas music. And that is Christianity. Christianity says you cannot have peace on earth and you cannot have goodwill among men if men are disrupted from God, if men are living in alienation from his holy fellowship. Now I ask you, is that true or false? Man is living apart from God. Man is ploughing his own furrow. He's basically saying to God, I don't need you. I've got this sussed. I'm enjoying life. Has Christianity failed? Well, there's a much more searching question. Has Christianity been tried? You see, we've been trying to organize peace and goodwill as if, you know, as if it were a manufactured product. And we've failed miserably. But suppose we take God at his word. Suppose we try Christ. Suppose we begin where the angel's song began, by giving glory to God in the highest. Suppose we glorify God by the full surrender of our lives, body, soul, mind, and spirit, to the control of the Lord Jesus. What is the first question in the Shorter Catechism? What is man's chief end? What's the chief reason for man being on this earth, existing? Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what we're on this earth for. Not to fulfill our own selfish passions. To glorify God. And when that happens, what an amazing transformation takes place. I think of a good friend of mine who's a good while since gone to glory. Some of you may remember him, Jackson Buick. Jackson Buick worked in Belfast City Mission before he came into our ministry. A born evangelist, just a wonderful human being. Saved by the grace of God, had a real passion to share the gospel with others. He ended up as chaplain in Crumlin Road Prison. And he's what I would call a man's man. He really was able to communicate with men. And he exercised a tremendous ministry in Crumlin Road Jail. He used to say the only difference between him and the inmates was he got home in the evening. They didn't. But he spent his time with them. And in the prison, he saw hardened Republican prisoners who had devoted their lives to a violent insurrection. He saw them converted to Christ. And he saw hardened loyalists who were out to kill as many Catholics as they could, converted to Christ. And he saw those Republicans and loyalists sitting down together around the Word of God, embracing one another as brothers in Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that has happened again and again and again in every strata of life. And it's not just, you know, those events like political enemies. I've seen it in domestic enemies. What do I mean by that? Where husband and wife, the relationship is broken down. Broken down completely. And by the grace of God, God enters into that situation. One of the spouses is converted to Christ and then the other. And what happens? They're united to Christ and they're united to each other. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When the vertical relationship is right, then the horizontal relationship can be put right. See, the problem is we've been looking for grapes and we have not got the vine. Suppose we now reverse the order, get the vine and then get the grapes. And that's my Christmas message. First the vine, then the grapes. First and foremost, glory to God in the highest, then peace on earth, goodwill among men. I wish every man and woman and child in our land would quit their strife and hear the angels sing their song. And we must listen to all the song, hear every part of the song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill among men. Let's pray.